comes from the boys, I'll have to wait on my...
You know the difference between a rattlesnake and a board?
No, I don't know.
You can count the rattles on a rattlesnake, you can't on a board.
Oh, I see. It's all rattle. I
think you got that on right now.
Uh-huh. I never heard that one.
He's taking that word we say down right there.
Yeah, boy.
Well, I ain't gonna say nothing. I care from nothing.
Get over and sing a little, G.
That's right. What
you sing, man. I can't sing. You ain't got no guitar.
I brought mine
to
the hat.
You gonna take your bottle?
Yeah. You want something to drink?
What were you saying about those chickens? You know?
We're going up there to catch a few chickens. We are.
1,500?
Not 1,500. You better re-raise that.
Give me a packing thing.
What, this?
Yeah. Oh. I'm going. Don, you want them?
You want a butt wash?
How much is it?
Two of them, mm-hmm. 90 cents.
Here.
Yeah, the hail got mine, and the grass, tried to grow out, and the grass stuck them, so.
I got plenty of them, good. They need a home.
Huh?
I got plenty of them, they need a home.
Well, sir, we got enough to use, I mean, something like that. Mm-hmm. And all we need in that way, but.
Well, they get sort of slow about selling, like beans.
Oh, they are right now.
I sold several beans, you know, but the bottom dropped out of them, too.
Well, yeah.
I started off on maybe $16 a bushel, and I got down to $5. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Well, sir, the season has produced the most beans I've ever seen from mm-hmm.
about. I believe every vine. Had to
peck on
the back. We'll see you, fellas.
Well, I appreciate it.
Yes, yeah.
Y'all take care of that.
They going somewhere, they ain't looking for no chickens, I don't guess. It might be that he's bought some off some of them, you know, there's a lot of folks will sell their chickens cheap now.
Yeah.
But talking about the tobacco.
Yeah.
Now, they cut down halfway and cut it off. I split this stalk and just cut it off, that blow the split. Stuck it on a stick.
Now, I'm not... I hate to be ignorant, but I'm not sure I'll get you. Start again here.
All right.
It's big enough to sucker, say, or to top.
Oh, yeah, it's done. It's grown.
Okay.
It's grown when you start this. All done right. Topped and sucker.
All right.
And they take this knife, tobacco knife we used to call them.
That thing's, it's like about 8-10 inches long.
It's
got a hole.
No, it's about, it might be 6-7 inches long. See, it's just a crooked hawkbill of a knife there, and it's sharp on both sides.
Okay.
You see, you split down where you bent like this with the hawk up. Wow. When you split the stalk, then you take this other part to cut the stalk off. Turn your knife over to cut it off, see.
So you split it from top to bottom?
No, just split it halfway down at a time. See, that grades your tobacco.
So you cut the top off first, you split and then cut
yeah.
the top.
Cut the top, then split on down and get the bottom.
Okay.
And you hang it on sticks. And that's stalking all that, and you put it in the barn. Now, that's when I first started pulling, helping the back of it. I was a little fella.
Now, how'd you get them on a stick? Did you use a gas?
Just prize open the stalk and stick it up on there.
Okay.
It don't price too much, and it wouldn't split on out.
I see. So it's like burley, you cut it at the bottom one time.
I know, burley, stand up in the field and let it yellow anyway. Yeah.
But now this stuff, you'd split it about halfway down.
Halfway down, see. This is flue-cured tobacco.
Yeah.
But here's a dark, tobacco. It wasn't much of a smoking tobacco. Wasn't nobody smoking much then. It was chewing.
Yeah.
And you didn't raise too much. And you go along, you get this, see. You had your wagon along with you. Yeah. And two fellas would be taking two rows here and cutting it half, get the top part. There'd be two more coming back here getting the bottom part. And the wagon would be a following. You laid it right up when you got a stick loaded.
Yeah.
You lay it up on the wagon, haul it out with a wagon. They didn't have slides in it. And they finally got the priming it, you know, when they used more, wanted more cigarettes.
Yeah.
And pulling 2 and 3 leaves at a time.
Right. Now, how did...
Holding them sticks was pretty bad. You get in the middle of a stick. One fella put an extra stalk on. I got used in the middle of the stick, and the stick is sticking out here on both sides of you. If you load that side too heavy, it raised up.
Yeah. So had to keep a balance on it.
So you could keep a walk.
Now, what was the purpose of just doing half at one time and then the bottom half? Just different grades?
It's a different grade. I was grading it.
Did it have more than just two grades? Or?
Well, you couldn't have hung it in the barn, the whole stalk had been too long.
Was they longer than they are now, taller?
Well, no, they wasn't as long. They didn't have about 12 leaves on them.
Yeah.
But you tearfold and you couldn't have handled them. You couldn't have picked it up off the ground, the leaves of the drug, and it had been too much. You could have graded it when you got it cured, you know.
Yeah.
But you had it pretty near graded there before you put it in the barn. You had about 6 leaves of one kind, 6 of the other.
Yeah. What other things do they do different now, or did they do different then?
See, back at that time when they wasn't working, that was a pretty good money crop, that tobacco crop was.
Yeah.
And they chestnuts died long back then. And then they split them up, 5-foot lengths, and quartered them up around about and sold it for acid wood.
Okay.
Then they didn't have this chemical to tan with now for tanning hides.
Yeah.
While they peeled these, what we call a mountain oak or a chestnut oak, it's thick bark. And in the spring of the year, they cut those down and peeled the bark off. Well, they take the tree to the sawmill and saw it and cross tie.
Yeah.
And they let this bark dry. It had to get perfectly dry. And down at Mount, you know, they had a bark shed. Take it down and load it on cars. And that's what they tanned the hides with.
Yeah.
Made a chemical out of it.
Yeah.
That's what they call it tan bark.
Yeah.
They don't do that no more. They've got a different process in tanning.
Yeah. Well, back during the Depression, you know, did people around here hew out like cross ties for
their
own hand?
Yeah, there's some of them in the railroad right now. You can go right down here and see them. They're still there.
They did that around here. In the
Place. You saw a cross tie. What you call a number 5 is 7 by 9. And they go on down to 6 by 7, but it's kind of a sidetrack. You put them on sidetrack. But now there's some of them are huge, you know, and they didn't care how wide this your tie was. You just shoot them down to 7 inches.
Tall, 7 high, and then wide as it happened to be.
Wide as whatever it wanted to be, yep. See, they just wanted 7 inches, and that leveled up with the others.
Yeah. Did you ever do any of that?
No, I never did.
Well, no,
I wasn't large enough back then when they were hewing them. The sawmills come around, they got to sawing them, see, it's much easier.
Yeah.
But I've helped get out a lot of tan bark.
Yeah. Did they use any special tool to peel that bark
off? Mm-hmm. They called it a spud.
What did it look like?
Well, it looked like a poking stick, you know, with a ring up here in your handle, and it's sort of flat-like.
Yeah. Ring in the handle.
Well, yeah, the hole, you know, made a ring at the top.
Yeah.
Hold your hand, you know, kind of like a shovel hand, you know, these short ones.
Yeah. So it wasn't very long.
No, it was just, I guess it's 3 foot.
Yeah.
And you just went right along and peeled that bark fall off like nobody's business, just as the sap was arising. You had to catch that. The sap got on up and the leaves got grown, you didn't peel no more.
Yeah. Now, did you have to split that bark in any, but to start it?
Yeah, you beat it, yeah.
Beat it?
Well, you had an axe, you know, to start it with, and then your spud come along and just peel it off the big sheets.
With your axe, did you sort of chop lengthways down the log?
Well, cut it and pick it off. It didn't make no difference how big your piece was. It went in the bark just the same, but it was a little trouble of handling, you know, them old big pieces, you know, it load faster.
Yeah. Well, when we're
and I tell you another thing back in those old days. This country right through here, that was the most of that was a woman's job. And they pulled a lot of galax leaves. All the stores around bought galax leaves.
What for?
Well, it was for wreaths and things and decorations.
Yeah.
And in the wintertime, you know, they'll turn a dark brownish red.
Yeah.
And in the summertime, it's green. They didn't buy too many in the summertime, some for wreaths and things like that. And they got to where now, why, they dime. And so they still use them up here at Low Gap.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they're an evergreen plant or something up
there. Yeah, right? Yeah, evergreen, yeah.
You say that was women's work mostly.
Well, going out in the woods and pulling them, yeah. The men folks were doing something there.
I see.
You hardly ever see any man pulling them. I used to pull some when I was going to school down here. I'd get candy with.
Yeah.
Didn't take me a few minutes, 25 in a bunch. Penny a bunch.
Huh.
If I could pull 5 bunches,
yeah.
That's 125 leaves, I could get a big piece of candy for a nickel then.
Boy. What about ginseng? Any of that around?
Yeah, there's some up here in this mountain, but I never did fool with ginseng. It was too slow a work for me. And,
could you find it pretty easy or was it pretty scary?
Well, I never hunted, I don't know. Yeah, you could find it when the berries is on it. In the fall, yeah, there's berries. There's folks that digs that yet. This fellow Fred Lowe up here, he gets in this mountain. He's retired too, and I guess he's about, he's on up in late 70s, I imagine.
Fred Lowe, when is the time to hunt that? Like August, I mean, October, November?
Well, summer's long in September and October, when the berries is. Yeah, some of them tell it by the leaf, you know, and it's fool with it. I never did fool with it, but.
Well, you were talking about women's work. What other, did women ever work like in the fields much? Like?
Yeah, oh yeah, way back in my young days, where they hoed this corn and plowed it while it was tossing and ruining it, you know, breaking the feed roots away, but they thought they had to plow it if it was a dry season.
Yeah.
Said makes the moisture rise, but it didn't, I don't think.
So
but we were running the corn. We were running the corn and taking the feed roots from it.
Hmm. But the idea was if it's dry, you'd plow it and that'd draw the moisture up.
Somehow. Yeah, well, that did look a little moist, you know.
Yeah,
you
turn it over.
But I think it was drying it out.
Yeah. Well, what about plowing and stuff like that, cultivating and plowing?
Well,
did
we
ever do that?
Done it. I done a lot of it with a team. Oh, yeah, I liked that.
Hmm.
Yeah, we didn't plow as much as we do now with the tractors and things, but now I like to plow. I like to work the Mother Earth. That is always the most enjoyable job I've ever had.
Yeah. But women didn't do that, you said. They didn't plow any, did they?
Yeah.
Did they?
Yeah, they could plow. An old slow horse, a mule, and they'd ride. They could ride. All my sisters, they're the best riders I've ever seen. My dad, used to sell fertilizer down out there, and they, a lot of folks got the ointment, and he'd take it on horse or cow or mule or anything, and he'd get some of the wildest things you've ever seen. And just as quick as he gets home, he'd tell them to stay off of it. They'd have him bridled and on his back or going from here. The faster they run, the better off they were. They stayed right on there. Every sister I had was good riders. They could beat me a ride.
Well, when did cars become real popular? I mean, real.
Well, as long in the, well, a real pop or something, about 30s.
Yeah.
Now there's some T models, old 490 Chevrolets,
yeah,
and the old four-cylinder Dodge, yeah, Buick or two around. There's several old T models, you know, but they come popular after about, after A models come out. Everybody,
yeah,
about got them an A model.
Yeah. What about steam machinery on the farm, you know, steam tractors and threshing machines and all that kind of stuff?
Oh, yeah.
They had steam in here pretty heavy?
Oh, yeah. They had to put a little thrash machine with a steam engine.
Yeah.
It took about 6 yoke oxen to pull a boiler from stackyard to stackyard. They went from farm to farm to thrash. Thrash your wheat, your rye, and your buckwheat if you had any.
So who would own the machine?
Well, there's a fella Creed down here owned one. Chris Creed, John. And the last one that came through this country was preacher Bill Agerson and his boy. And his was a little handier than the rest of them. They didn't have to have the steam boiler. They had a Fortune tractor, old spike wheel.
Yeah.
No, I believe it had ridges across it, didn't it, the wheel, yeah.
Fordson.
Think so. Old Fordson, see, and hit pulled the thrash machine when it, while it was thrashing, and also moved it. So that is handy, no horses to feed.
Yeah.
But everybody had to get a big dinner wherever they stopped at for dinner. He fed the crew.
Yeah.
And all the neighbors would gather up around, you know, to help one another thrash.
How many men would be on a crew?
Oh, we had to stack the, they'd be about 4 going along with one to measure it and one to feed it.
Yeah.
And so one to look after the motors and all and kept it a running and shut it down when they wanted it. There's about 4 of them, but all the neighbors, well, there'd be a dozen.
Yeah. But there's 4 people that got paid by somebody to run that machine.
Four got was with the machine,
yeah,
and some of them would have to throw it off the stack on the board there, you know, where they run it through the thrashing,
yeah,
machine, and they had to be some of them on the straw stack, you know, they stacked all that straw back there.
Huh? What'd they fire the boiler with?
They fired it wood. You had to have a pile of wood up there for the boiler.
Yeah.
Have your wood hauled in to your stackyard. Some of these fellas would stack, some farmers would go together and stack, have a pretty good size yard.
I see, and they just...
And, but some of them would just stack it at home. They'd come around if you didn't have it, 3 or 4 stacks, it didn't make no difference, stop your house and do it.
Yeah. How were they paid?
They took toll out of the wheat, yeah, the rye, whatever you were, they tolled it.
So like a mill does.
Yeah, that's what, yeah, there wasn't no money in it,
yeah,
involved. They sold that to get the pay.
How long has it been since they were any of that kind of?
Lord, let's see, that was in, it's been a long while. That was back in the teens.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's been a while ago, hasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And another thing about this thing, now everybody raised patch of syrup, molasses. And they'd all have a patch of cane. And they'd set up a mill somewhere at somebody's house where the water was handy and all. And haul the cane and grind. Now, I had a big time around them when I was a little old fella, grind day and night. And it was pulled by a mule, a horse one.
Round and round.
Round and around.
Did anybody do that around here anymore? There's bound to be somebody.
No. Neighbor down here, Glenn Bertram's got one, but it's pulled by a motor. They rigged it up, you know, where they run it by a motor. You don't have to have no team.
Horse. Is he still in the fall? Is he still?
Yeah, he didn't make any last year. He pulled last year. He made I don't know, 102 gallons. He just got it for his own use mostly. But last year his cane, his dry weather, and it didn't do no good.
Yeah. He evaporates it right there. He's got a.
Well, he boils it off. They'd evaporated, you know, but this is old timey, you know. You put it in this boiler and you just heat it up until all this foam on top to it busts. Then you got to have skimmers to get all that off. And keep skimming it all along. If you don't, it's going to taste bitter. Them old skimmings, but that, you know, and it gets all of that out. Then you got some good syrup. And when you take your skimmer, you know, and you run through here, and it goes to popping and cracking, you know, when it's wobbling, the syrup does.
Yeah.
So it's getting about thick enough. You hold it up, and if it fleeks off all along your skimmer, just fleeks off.
Yeah.
It's ready to set off there.
That's pretty slick.
I raised syrup myself.
Yeah.
Well, I haven't since. What year was Hurricane Hazel come along through here? That was the last year I raised any.
What about maple?
No, we don't have the right type of maple here to tap. You have to tap that and get out of a tree.
What about up in the mountains? They do it up in there, ain't
they? No, not that I know of. Yeah. It's back out in the New England states, mostly where those sugar maples are there. Now, they used to, I don't know whether they still at it or not, back in the 20s, they tapped pine trees, longleaf pines, down east of North Carolina, or turpentine.
They never did that around here?
No, we never did do that around here. We didn't. I believe those pines down there will bleed more than ours. Most of them down in the swampy place, you know, and... But I've seen lots of buckets and a great big old pine field there, and the buckets hanging on every one of them.
What about pulpwood? When did that?
Pulpwood was awful good. That is a good business around here for a while. But they quit buying it from out there.
Didn't know that.
Yeah, they quit buying pulpwood from out there, and that put a whole lot of these boys, you know, in a wintertime job out of that.
Yeah.
Farmer, you know, he'd make his goal. Through the winter on that. But I don't know why they quit. Well, they went to rerunning this old paper.
Yeah, that might have been part of it.
And they're buying it on down here at Omihaw. And I believe at Crutchfield. That's on the railroad where it runs up to North Wilkesboro from Winston.
Hmm.
I think they're buying it over there, but now there I don't reckon to get enough to pay them. They quit.
Now, there are tobacco warehouses over there, aren't there?
Oh, we got, let's see, that's 3, 4, 5. There's 5 in out there.
Hmm. Is there anything any closer?
No, that's close to market. We got just 12 miles.
What kind of hours do you keep in the store?
Hours. Lord, how much? Till I get tired, just lock up. I just stay in until I get tired.
Yeah.
And if I want to go anywhere, I just lock the door and go.
That's nice. What time do you open up in the mornings usually?
Well, I'll open up about 6 o'clock. They come wake me up, they'll holler. I stay upstairs over there.
They need gas to get into town to work, I guess.
Well, I usually get it in the evening.
Yeah. Most people around here work over in Mount Airy?
Yeah, some of them works at Galax.
Yeah,
there's a lot of folks works. They work in the mills and the factories, and there's quite a few jobs in town, Mount Airy now.
I guess that's sort of changed the way things are around here, though. Everybody commuting back and forth to work.
Oh, yeah. More than I growed up, yeah. If you worked in a factory down there when I grew up, you just had to stay down there. You couldn't get back and forth.
Yeah. I guess there's a lot more traffic on the roads.
Lord, you get run over. there's quite a few more people than there used to be around. Are these folks moving in here? We're going to be in a town one of these days right here.
Really?
They're moving in from Greensboro, Florida, Winston, all around, everywhere.
I guess people are getting tired of city life. Maybe
they just come out up here in the mountains. They like it.
Yeah.
But it'll be just like it. Kids around cities now. Some of them moved out and wasn't nobody living beside of them, and now they're just all crowded up.
Yeah, that makes sense, doesn't it? Yeah, well. What kind of stock have you got upstairs? Just what's here?
Yeah, about what's here. Just all I've got up there, just some of the odds and ends that don't set up.
Yeah.
But in case it's set up there, it's a good dry place to keep it. Get that away here. Oh, my bear stock's over yonder in the other place over than that.
Yeah.
Do
you have any trouble with people breaking in ever?
Oh, yeah, yes, sir. They sure is.
More now than then? Or
Lord, yeah. You didn't have to lock a door back when I growed up.
Huh.
You can't lock them out now.
Why is it different here?
Huh?
Well,
I don't know. There's a different generation growing up. It's don't aim to work. You're going to get to live in some other way.
Yeah.
I don't know what you're going to do in all these fellas that's working and gone.
I hadn't thought of it that way. You might have a point.
I don't know what they'll do. Now, that's right, because, well, I think they're wanting to extend the age limit to where you can work on to 70. And all I know, the reason you want to do that, well, it'd be all right if a man's able. He ought to be able to go on to 70.
Yeah.
And that's, they see it, these young boys ain't going to take their place. And they think maybe a different generation will grow up at will. I don't know where it's dope or what. These young generations, I don't say every one of them is, but I'll say there's majority of them wild and every way. They ain't got no respect for nothing.
Huh. Yeah, I've seen it myself, so I guess I have to agree with you for the most part, I'm afraid. Fertilizer spreader out there?
Yeah, that's a combination of the thing. I built that.
Oh, yeah?
I take the cultivator, you know, and turn it right side up. You can lay off with it, and you can make a roll, put those plows on there, and you can ridge it, or you can leave it open, or I can hook a corn planter behind it and go right on and plant corn and just anything you want to do. Now you can cultivate with it, but you have to take off each that front end there and the wheel that pulls the fertilizer stripper over there.
Yeah.
Take that off and you go on and cultivate. But I've got to cultivate. It's too much trouble to do all that.
Yeah.
How about that? In 49.
And you fixed it up then or more recently?
No, I fixed it up right over at Galax. Fell low over there. He was a good hand. You just told him what I wanted and he just fixed that for me.
Yeah,
I bought it over there off Phelps Motor Company over there. And I bought a tractor off of him. but now, and a corn planter and so on, but now, by golly, he knowed how to do it just like I wanted.
Yeah.
I wanted a layoff plow.
Yeah.
Of course, you plant your corn now without a layoff plow, but you can't put in fertilizer for tobacco or anything like that you want to ridge, you know, or you're going to transplant.
Yeah.
And you got to have a fur, you know, to do that with. So he fixed it for me.
Did I ever ask you, is there anybody around here who plows with horses and stuff still works horses?
They work them, but there's a lot of, not much. Very little, very few that ever. There's a few of these plows the garden with the horses, to keep horses, so on. And they get on the wagon train, you know. There's a, they come through here on the wagon train. The fall festival comes through here. It's the only wagon train it does, and some of them comes on from over yonder, boom, boom, back in there and goes up a little gap up here. They have wagon trains all around here. They, horse riders come here just about ever, pretty Sundays, 25 and 30 of them. Riding horse, that's not work horses, though, that's just riding horse.
I better put that, they're supposed to put a signal on this thing, and I forgot to do it, so I better do that now.